Something for the weekend. It's Trina Mari here, and something that we've been meaning to talk about for quite a while. A lot of people are becoming vegan. We're hearing so much about it now. We thought we'd invite Roger Yates into studio, and you're from the Vegan Information Project, Roger.
Yes, hello, and thanks for having me.
So you're going to fill us in today exactly what it means to be a vegan, and also for tips for anybody who's thinking about starting off and they're not sure what they can have. Okay, so first of all, what are the things that you can and can't eat as a vegan? And I know you're going to correct me in my language there by the look at your face already. Go for it.
Yes, it's interesting that, because we do quite a lot of street work, and people do say things like, oh, you can't eat that and you can't eat that. And we say, well, it's not that we can't, it's that we won't.
You won't. It's a choice, yeah.
And that reflects the fact that veganism is a philosophy. So it's about, less violence. It's about non-violence, about peace. It's about justice, ultimately. I always sum vegan up as justice for all. So it's kind of bringing justice over the species barrier. In the same way, there's a very famous philosopher called Tom Reagan, and he kind of succeeded in getting the idea of rights over the species barrier. Vegans do that with the concept of justice.
Okay. So food, talk to me, Roger. What do you have on a daily basis?
Well, for breakfast, I often will have toast or porridge, you know, those kind of things. I've got to kind of confess that food is not really of a great interest to me, funny enough. I mean, I tend to think of it as fuel, you know. But in terms of kind of vegan options now, Dublin is just crammed packed with them. You just can't go anywhere now without seeing it. In fact, we were in a, because I kind of work with a animal sanctuary, and we were there to collect some bread from a big store in Dublin yesterday. And we were just amazed by the fact that there's kind of like row after row now.
Yeah, it's far more mainstream, isn't it?
Just everywhere
now. You used to have to go to specialist places,
That's right, yeah. You know, and places that weren't or didn't have vegan options, they tend to now. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was, according to Tim Barford, he runs a VegFest in UK. He's a manager of that. And he said that there was a kind of restaurant-wide memo that went around about 2 years ago. And they realized that veganism is becoming so popular, now you get vegans going out with their non-vegan friends. So if there's four of them and there's one vegan and you don't have a vegan option, you lose all four of them.
I see.
From the restaurant's point of view, it's actually in their interest to have a vegan option, and that's how it was.
Otherwise they'll
stay
at home.
You had one vegan option, but
they'll
now you've got several.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you mentioned there about having, say, toast for your breakfast. Mm. You're not having butter, obviously.
Well, margarine, obviously.
Okay, so you can have that.
Yeah.
And in your porridge, what do you have instead of the cow's milk?
Well, there's a whole range of plant milks now. Some farmers call it nut juice, which I think is quite an interesting.
I think there was a girl on The Apprentice in the UK who was, her business was nut juice.
Right? Because it's interesting, because like some farmers or some farmer reps anyway, they're trying to stop vegans using the word milk, which is a bit odd really, because when you think about coconut milk, you know, we naturally use that phrase. You know, so there's soya milk, which is traditional. When I went vegan, which was 1979, there was no soya milk in those days. There was no vegan cheese, there was no vegan meats, that kind of thing. But now you've got soya milk of all different types. You've also got rice milk, hemp milk, almond milk. There's a few others I can't remember.
Does it take a good bit of getting used to, though, the taste of it? It's a very different taste, isn't it, to cow's milk?
It can be. It depends on the brand. I actually like, ironically, I like the watery ones. So I actually like the cheap ones. So it's really good for me. So you can go, you can go to some of the very kind of, the cheap supermarkets. And we're talking about like 70, 75 cent for a litre of soy milk. And I actually like those ones, but there are some which are much creamier. But that reminds me of cow milk, so I don't...
So you don't particularly like the taste of
that now? Yeah, I'm kind of used to it. When I went vegan, there was something called Plamil, which was kind of ground up nuts, and it came in a can, like a baked bean can. And if you wanted cream, in inverted commas, I'm doing bunny rabbit ears, you would just pour it straight from the can. And if you wanted milk, you would water it down half and half. I actually quite liked it, funny enough. But then again, I've always, because I'm an ethical vegan, I've always thought, well, okay, that meal might have been a bit bland, or that might have been a bit strange, but I haven't killed anyone. And that was the thing that was of interest to me. But going back to your question, your palate gets retrained in the sense that people tend to forget that the foods that they like now they may not have liked when they first started.
Absolutely. Sure, even years ago, the amount of things that I eat now and I would never have touched years ago, you know. So margarine is allowed. I didn't think that that would be allowed.
I'm going to object to the word allowed. But
allowed,
Yeah. So, yeah, so there's plenty of vegan margarines around. And then there's jams, there's, you know, things like hummus, things like spreads. There's all kinds. I mean, like, you can basically say, generally speaking now, there is a vegan version of virtually everything, you know, ice cream, you know, milks, meat, cheese, you know, whatever. And we sample quite a lot on the streets of Dublin, and it goes down really well, especially with
that's interesting to see people notice the difference.
Vegetarians are often, well, I feel a bit sorry for vegetarians in a way, because they often say on Facebook that they really regret the time they were vegetarian, because they realized they weren't doing as good as they thought they were, right? But then they often come up and they say, well, I didn't even realize there was vegan cheese. Because I think what tends to happen there is that they go to the supermarket and they just go to the brand that they know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily see the vegan stuff. But now, again, that supermarket we went into yesterday, it had six different types of vegan cheese.
Wow, so it's really taken off, isn't it? Okay, so eggs, obviously, not something that you would eat.
No.
What about things like sweets? Because sweets are something I didn't even think about.
Yeah, well, a lot
the
of
gelatin.
Gelatin might be in sweets, but again, there's a whole range of kind of vegan sweets coming on board now. I think what's basically happened is the industry has copped on to the fact that there's a big change, and that basically means, from their point of view, that there's a market opened up, and they're kind of trying to fill it, really.
Chocolate.
Yeah, loads of vegan chocolate, but there always has been. Some of it was a bit kind of, you might say, weird back in the 1970s, 80s. But now you've got, I mean, I won't use any brand names, but there's now some stuff that chocolate lovers would prefer the vegan version of it, because it's really, really good.
Really? Mm. And what about things like fizzy drinks or alcohol?
Yeah, well, the fizzy drinks probably were vegan in the first place. It really depends on your attitude towards things like sugar and stuff. You know, I tend to avoid sugar because I've got a thing about cash crops personally. But you can get your fizzy drinks. Alcohol used to be like the spirits are okay, vodka, this kind of thing. You could get into problems with things like ales, but lager is usually vegan. You know, so all your whiskies and all that, they'll be vegan. Lager's been vegan. Some beers could be a problem, but now you've got those coming online now. And in fact, there is an app that you can just go to and, you know, is this brand vegan? And you get told, you know.
Do you know the name of that app, by any chance?
Yeah, it's called Barnivore.
Barnivore, that's interesting, isn't it? What about things like pasta or breakfast cereals? I think there are some, aren't there, that you have to be careful
some
with.
Some pasta's got egg in, yeah. So, again, it's just a question of, you know, there's a thing about, you know, you've got to read labels. And you go, well, yeah, you know, but there's quite a lot of people who've got to, you know, read labels for various reasons. And also, it would be good for everybody to read labels, to be honest. You know, because you'd find out how much sugar is in stuff and find out how much salt.
You'd die if you actually read some things you were having.
Right, yeah.
So you were saying there about your breakfast, you might have porridge, you might have toast. Say for a snack or something when you're vegan, what kind of things would you have?
Well, again, you can have kind of crackers with spreads, or you can have a sandwich. You know, there's a whole bunch of things. You know, I mean, even now things like, you know, there's a big donut shop in Dublin. We've got now vegan pizza shops and stuff. So it's kind of really opening up. As I said, it's interesting for me, being an old-time vegan, if you like, it's interesting because you see on Facebook that people just go, okay, where do I get my vegan version of X? Because now they're so used to the idea that there's a vegan version of everything, and usually there is.
Dinner's for you then, Roger.
You know, curries.
It's very nosy, really, isn't asking somebody exactly what they eat all day, but this is kind of the point of the item.
I should have brought my menu in. There's quite a lot of these kind of vegan meats now which are quite popular. So even companies like Iceland are bringing in things like vegan burgers. They've got vegan mince, they've got vegan chili, they've got a range of sausages. They've brought out a vegan pizza. It's getting to the stage now where you can just almost like say that there is going to be a vegan version of what people are used to. And that's the thing I think that you're getting at is that people are thinking, what kind of changes do we need? You know, some of the long-term vegans don't really go for, you know, the vegan meats and everything, but it's really good for transitioning people. And it's really good for people with kids. You know, it's like if you send your kids to, you know, with a packed lunch, the more normal it looks, the better in terms of bullying.
So those products that you mentioned there, the vegan burgers and the vegan mince and that, do they taste meaty? Are they supposed to taste like mince and like burgers?
I mean, Confession time for me, some of the new ones, they taste too meaty for me. I mean, in fact, there were some sausages that I bought recently. I had to give them away. They were too meaty. And so I think that you're now getting, you know, that they do these kind of blind taste tests. Yeah. And even flesh eaters can't tell the difference. You know,
okay.
And there's these kind of ones that, you know, this idea about bleeding and stuff. So they use like beetroot juice and this kind of stuff. And so
I've heard of this one over the weekend, actually. Yeah. And people couldn't tell.
Yeah, it was really weird. But going back to the 1970s and 80s, I mean, in North America, for example, they did like a vegan chop, including the rind of fat, because they wanted it to look. And that's always the thing I say in the outreach. They could always get the taste of everything from the 70s onwards. But when they try to get the texture, it ruined the taste. And now you've had a lot of R&D, and it's taken these 40 years, and now they've all come together. So, you know, we sample something called Vi-Life cheese, which is really popular because the texture's right and the taste is right. There's no kind of, if you like, sacrifice now on on either front.
Yeah. Are there any other foods, Roger, that we haven't mentioned that you think that someone who's thinking about becoming a vegan might need to watch out for? They might not realise that it's not vegan.
What, you mean like hidden ingredients, I suppose? Well, you've touched on things like sweets. And, you know, somebody did say that there is a shop somewhere in Dublin which has got a big sign saying vegan jellies now. But apparently there's only four that are actually vegan. It's a question of being aware, really, you know, and just thinking about it and just kind of thinking, well, you know, what could be in this? I mean, I can't actually think of an example straight off the bat, because they're just everywhere now. I mean, I suppose there would be areas that we would have totally avoided in my day. You know, you would never even think about a pizza, for example. Whereas now, even all the big shops now and the big chains, they've got like a vegan range. Many restaurants and things have got a vegan menu now. Sometimes you might have to ask for it. I think from the point of view of psychology, they're finding that if they integrate the vegan stuff with the main menu, that's the best way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me this much. Is it very expensive? Does it get very expensive when you're doing your shopping and you're buying the vegan products?
Yeah, this is a kind of a myth that goes around, to be honest. It's the other way around, as far as I'm concerned, in the sense that the basics of vegan food is fruit and vegetables and rice and those kind of things. So if you're into that, I think it's fair to say that if you were on a kind of junk food vegan diet, then some of that could be expensive. But it's kind of one of those supply and demand things. The more popular it's getting, the price is coming down.
Yeah.
And we've seen that, you know, the vegan cheeses were quite expensive. And now when we tell people the price, they say, oh, that's just the same as I'm paying now. And it's just a question of the fact that the volume of sales
brings it down. Yeah.
Yeah. The vegan meats should, when they really come online, the vegan meat should be really cheap, because there's lots of things you don't have to do. First off, you don't have the animals, so that means you don't have the breeding, you don't have the raising, you don't have transportation.
And all the costs. Yeah.
And you don't have slaughter. Yeah. These are very costly things. All of that will be eliminated. So vegan meats, when they really come online properly, as it were, they should, in theory, be very cheap.
Do you have to be careful about making sure you're getting all the right vitamins and minerals and all that? Do you have to take supplements or anything when you're vegan?
Yeah, it's interesting that when I first came to Dublin, which was like 2005, the vegans here, they were quite, you know, you need to take supplements. And I realised that from 1979 to then, I had not taken any at all. And my sister, who's been vegan since the early 80s, have never taken supplements. And she actually thinks it's a bit of a con. What tends to happen is that the nutritionists and dietitians advise you to. And so it's a kind of, well, just to be safe type thing. So I kind of take a multivitamin now, but I'm not kind of very strict about it. And I just, funny enough, last week I got my blood test results back, and they're all in the desirable level. So I'm doing okay.
You're okay.
Yeah. You know, and I'm, you know, vegan 40 years now. You know, I'm 61 and still playing football. So I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Are there any side effects, though, that you might experience if you become a vegan overnight?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think some people would advise people not to go vegan overnight, you know, in a dietary sense.
That was my next question for you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But some people do, because, you know, especially if they get turned onto the ethics of it. The ethical vegans seem to be the one who stay vegan. There is like a drop off.
It's trendy for a lot of people, isn't it?
This is
at the moment. Yeah.
It's a bit of a problem, to be honest. And so it's kind of like a movement problem, because we've got the recruitment is going well, or at least it seems to be going well. It's a question of retention, you know. And if you've got one in and one out, that's a problem from a movement point of view. So it's a question of finding out, you know, why they're dropping off. And the research so far suggests that it's the health vegans who are the ones who are a bit more wobbly because they might just move on to another diet.
I know, the next fad or whatever.
And as soon as you realise that veganism is not a diet, then it helps to stay, you know.
Any tips for somebody starting off? Would you maybe recommend doing the vegan diet one day a week and slowly progress into it?
My general thing is, again, it's another movement thing. We used to say go vegetarian first, but now we say be as vegan as possible. And so I think it's an individual thing. I think some people can kind of really go for it. And I mean, we're talking about in a dietary sense now. I think it's more of a question of things like mentoring. So there's things like Challenge 22, which is a website, but also there's lots and lots of Facebook groups. So if you were to go onto social media and put in things like, you know, Irish vegans, Dublin vegans, and you can just ask questions and you'll get lots and lots of answers. Well, I did this and I did that. And you can go there. So people go, you know, where can I get this? Or even things like I'm going out tonight. Is there a vegan option in X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
And they always get lots of replies. So that's probably the easiest thing because you're actually getting local people helping you. That's one of the great things about social media, which in my generation we didn't have. You know, we were reliant on things like magazines and stuff.
Whereas God, it must have been tough to get the info then, yeah.
I mean, it's like instant now. I mean, you know, I think we tend to forget we've got such a magnificent, we've got like global instant communication. We can ask somebody, you know, what's going on in Spain? And you can get an answer to it, you know. I mean, like this is the first generation that's with that, and we can use it from a vegan point of view, and people do. And so, you know, Dublin Vegans, there's one called Dublin Vegan, there's one called Vegans of Ireland, there's lots of different ones. It's just a question of putting the right keyword into a search engine, really.
Yeah. Do you ever find, Roger, that you're eggs for a meal with, you know, friends and they're having a steak or something? Would that bother you now, or would you be able to sit there?
There is a move for people not to do that.
They don't when you're there, yeah.
Yeah, it can be difficult. In fact, one of the problems that some people find when they first start to live vegan is the fact that they've got to sit around their family.
Yeah, and because not the whole family are going to want to do it, yeah.
That's right, yeah. And so that can be a problem there because you suddenly realise that what you previously thought of as food, you no longer think of as food. You tend to think, well, actually, that's a dead body. You know, some people might see a steak. We see a body part. And that's a change in psychology. Once you do that, it is a problem then because you realise that the person that you like and you're getting on with is actually eating a dead body. And so you've got to come to terms with that.
Now, you brought me in a booklet here, Roger, vegan and vegan-friendly cafes, restaurants and eateries in Dublin. Now, we're in Dublin, but obviously we've got listeners all around the country. Mm. I assume they're popping up everywhere, these cafes, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So there's so many options out there. So maybe if you're interested in, where can we get some more info? Is it your own website?
Yeah, you could do that or social media, but certainly veganinformationproject.cf is good. Again, I would say social media is probably the best.
Thanks, Roger, for filling us in today. I'm interested to hear that you are having your toast and you can have alcohol and there's lots of things you can have.
Actually,
I just thought you couldn't have anything.
Well, the thing is, you know, if you go through, you know, your average kind of person's diet, you'll find that they're already eating loads of vegan things.
Ah, you see. Mm. Yeah, write it down and actually have a look maybe for a day and you'll figure it out that way. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming into studio today and for all that info. If you're interested in becoming a vegan, all the info is there online as well. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.